You're listening to Get Abstract, the world's biggest collection of summaries.
This is a summary of Don't Move Just Yet, an article by Matthew Kahn. With work from home becoming more prevalent in the United States, economist Matthew E. Kahn proposes planned communities he dubs Remotevilles. These brand new, compact towns would rise on the fringes of existing cities, but unlike suburbs, they would encourage civic engagement. People there would spend less money for homes, less time commuting, and more time enjoying parks, volunteer gigs, and walkable spaces. Kahn believes his Remotevilles could revitalize smaller, struggling cities, such as Baltimore, Maryland, and draw people from places vulnerable to climate change. What might become of existing sprawling suburbs? Kahn doesn't say. Okay, here's the first takeaway. New cities, Remotevilles, could cater to work-from-home employees in the United States. Most of the United States workforce has been tied to geographic locations for decades, commuting into large cities to work in offices. Post-pandemic, with remote work on the rise, up to 40% of workers can work from home and can reverse this once seemingly indestructible paradigm. As a result, suburbanization is supercharged. The mid-sized cities most likely to benefit include Baltimore, Maryland, Buffalo, New York, Bozeman, Montana, and Boise, Idaho. Most exciting, however, is the possibility that all new work-from-home or WFH communities, so-called Remotevilles, could one day encircle major cities. Remotevilles would be vital communities, like urban centers, but with more affordable housing and a society centered around remote work. People will still have to visit their urban offices regularly, so these remote outposts will need well-designed mass transportation to thrive. Even WFH workers must be able to access their jobs on Zoom and get to the office now and then on local transportation routes. This calls for reasonable rail transit and airline flights. Such new communities could lift the economic burdens of larger cities and offer better quality of life to their residents. They may even provide new outlets for informed, vested, local, and participatory democracy. Here's the second takeaway. Remotevilles require land, investment, and people sharing similar values. Three elements must be in place for the Remoteville experiment to succeed. First, there must be available land. Currently, ample, empty, buildable land stands ready near urban centers. For example, places such as Stockton, California, could accommodate workers from Apple, saving them from the exorbitant cost of living in the Bay Area versus a more affordable community 80 miles from Silicon Valley. Second, Remotevilles need investment. Developers would need to plan Remotevilles around local family household incomes and necessary infrastructure and services. Modular housing techniques could speed up development and allow for relocation if necessary. Consider Scottsdale, Arizona, as a worthwhile existing model, given its central town square, walking trails, and good schools. Third, the potential residents should share common values. Polls show that Americans now engage in far fewer civic pursuits than they did in the past. Remote workers are intentional about where they live. They care about their communities and may likely invest more time in civic institutions. All right, let's hear the third takeaway. New cities would offer greater freedom and modernity than older communities currently provide. Planned cities aren't novel in the United States. Corporations such as the Irvine Company in California built company towns around large industrial projects in the 1970s. The city of Irvine, such a town, now boasts 200,000 residents. Remotevilles would follow a similar example, accommodating remote workers' local needs while making the office accessible via well-planned freeways and mass transportation. Government in Remoteville won't face the burden of red tape and infrastructure costs that hamper today's urban centers. Certain rules currently impede elected officials' capacity to experiment with various methods and tactics, for example, in street safety and education. Experimentation could draw greater buy-in from civic-minded Remoteville residents. Remoteville policies could serve as models for improving public policy and services in other communities. Now for the fourth and final takeaway. People are happier when they live where they want. In the past, cities grew around ports and waterways that facilitated commercial trade. Today, people seek places offering a good quality of life. People can lead healthier and happier lives and become more productive if they live where they choose. The places that draw residents share certain common characteristics: warm winters, safety from natural disasters, and clean air and water. Climate change will also affect where people want to live as they seek environments less vulnerable to floods or fire. Some communities won't appreciate WFH workers relocating nearby. Higher incomes will drive up housing costs, and some existing residents may use environmental laws to discourage development. However, the WFH worker influx will generate jobs in construction and the service industries in each Remoteville. This is a manifestation of the local multiplier effect. Investment produces a virtuous cycle that leads to greater civic expenditure and more local jobs. That was a summary of Don't Move Just Yet, an article by Matthew Kahn. Here's the four takeaways again. Takeaway 1. New cities, Remoteville's, could cater to work-from-home employees in the United States. Takeaway 2. Remoteville's require land, investment, and people sharing similar values. Takeaway 3. New cities would offer greater freedom and modernity than older communities currently provide. And the final takeaway. People are happier when they live where they want.
You've been listening to a summary by Get Abstract. For more summaries on this and related topics, visit our app and website.